Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? It is Zach here, back with another episode. I know we took a couple of weeks off, but we did it because we have a real special treat for you today. Now, this podcast is not releasing on the normal day because I moved it around to line up with some really awesome stuff that my friend and mentor, James Wedmore, is working on. Now, for those of you that don't know, I've been working with James Wedmore for about the past year and a half now, and I've been working with him inside of his mastermind group, which is a small group of entrepreneurs that get together once a quarter and just work on building our business to the next level. Now, there's some other really awesome stuff that James does, and over the past year and a half of working with him, we've become friends, and he just has so much amazing stuff to offer. And so when I saw he was working on this really amazing project, I knew I had to have him on the show to talk to you guys about some of the stuff that we've worked on together over the past year and a half. And if you've been following me for more than a year, you have seen the evolution of Heart, Soul, and Hustle, where I've gone from crazy working insane hours to getting to a point where I enjoy life. You know, I'm recording this after doing a 48-hour hiatus over the weekend, not really checking in on social media, not posting on stuff, and I'm still getting paid. My business is still growing. I'm still doing fine, but you know what? I'm enjoying my life again. And so I reached out to James and said, dude, I gotta have you on the show. And we decided to take it a little different route. And you know, I talk about tactical stuff on my show all the time. I talk about, you know, how to get your first 100 subscribers, how to build your first online course, how to run your first ad, and all of that's great. But James is incredible at going deep and helping you understand that there's so much more to business than the latest and greatest craze. And we're going to talk today in this interview about understanding the power of leveraging your business and how to solve bigger problems, and that you have to reach more people to get your message out there and build the business that you want. So before we jump into this interview, I have two things I want to tell you. First and foremost, this interview is a little different because we are talking about the deep stuff, about the mental shift, about the inner work, about the stuff that it's not glamorous. It doesn't make incredible, sexy headlines that make you want to click at a 3% click-through rate and get insane conversions. We're talking about the vision of your business, where you want to be, how you want to live your life. The second thing I want to tell you is that this is a longer interview. Usually my interviews are 25, 30 minutes, but when James shows up, I love to let the guy riff. And I love to have longer conversations with him because I can sincerely say that some of the deeper conversations and some of the deeper concepts that I've learned from James, that I've talked to James about, that he's given me at our masterminds and given to our group, have changed my life and my business. So this is a full hour interview, but I want you to find time to listen to the full thing. Go for a walk. Give yourself space. Just looking at my notes, I mean, there are two or three things here that could literally change the trajectory of your business. And I don't say that lightly. I say that from working with him, from seeing the change in my business, seeing the change in my life. So I want to encourage you, buckle up and get ready, because I want to introduce you for the second time on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast to Mr. James Wedmore. Hey, James, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Again,
this
is my second time. Yeah. Thank you for bringing me back.
Yeah, of course. How could I not, with all the amazing stuff you've done for my business? Dude, I am so excited to have you here. And we're going to talk about some of the unpopular stuff that doesn't have all the dollar signs. We'll talk dollars, but we're going to talk about some fun stuff today.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what I'm here to do.
Yeah. So before we started rolling, we kind of went back and forth about exactly what we wanted to call this. And we're both the kind of person who's like, let's just riff, let's just do it. And we have a couple of topics, but I really want to start with something that we kind of got into, which is you have this extensive passion for video. And you said something which is like, you know, I love video, and I was able to really leverage that into something bigger. So can you talk to us a little bit, because you, like, you were the YouTube guy. I mean, you still are in a lot of spaces, and now you're leveraging that passion into a much bigger business. So talk to us a little bit about, like, all that cool stuff you're doing with video and where you're at with your business now.
Sure. Well, leverage is the key word. And I, for some reason, have I have a list of my favorite words in the dictionary, and my wife knows them. It's very weird, but possibilities is my number one. I just, the way I'm wired, I love the concept and idea that, and I mean, that's what drove me to become an entrepreneur, is it's really like every day you get to wake up and anything is possible. Anything is possible. So limitless possibilities. And the second word is leverage. Yeah, you put those two together, put them in your blend tech and drink that every morning, and you've got a healthy mental diet. Leverage, leverage, leverage. And there's a phrase I heard that I so love. It says, if you want to make more money, not that, you know, yes, the love for money is the root of all evil, but, you know, hey, if you're in business, you need money to stay in business, right? So if you want to make more money, you only need to do two things: solve bigger problems and reach more people. And that really stuck with me. Solve bigger problems and reach more people. And I think the word leverage really comes into play with both of those. How can you help to solve the biggest problems that people have? The problems that once removed can have a great life-changing impact on that person. And what can you do to solve more people's problems without it being dependent on you? Right? So leverage, leverage, leverage. And, you know, honestly, like, I'm looking back going into my 10th year of doing this, and I'm pinching myself because I just spent the month of March, all of March, you know, believe it or not, I'm not the kind of person that just wants to sip on a daiquiri on the beach somewhere, like some cliche internet marketing ad or something. I enjoy work. And I honestly believe that everyone does if they're doing the things that they are good at and love doing. And one of the things that I mean, I went to film school. So one of the things I love doing, I'm very creative, and that is making videos, what I call just visual storytelling, storytelling through video. And I spent the entire month doing that. There were some long days. You know, we'd have to get up at 5 a.m. because we wanted a sunrise shot. And there were some long nights. And I loved every single second of it. And I think the first thing I want to have a conversation with you around is having the ability to connect without this being a cliche. Like, I want to take this conversation further than most people would ever take it. But the ability to create a life or a business where you are doing the things that you are super passionate about, that stimulate your energy, your creativity, and they're actually making you money. Like, there are a lot of things I'm good at that I know I shouldn't be doing, and so I don't do them. And there's such important distinctions there. And yeah, that's what I want to talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. And I think that you said something so big there, which is like doing the things that you love and leveraging it into the money. And we talked a little bit before we started recording, is like, how do you talk about that without being the, like, you know, follow your passion and you can get paid. But I think you started to say it, which is like, there are things we do that don't necessarily get us paid, but there are things we love to do that we can leverage into the possibility of a business. So
let me just interrupt you right there, because here it's a subtle distinction that makes a massive, profound impact. Here's an example. You know, I could sit there and say, I just want to get paid to make videos. And you end it there. And I hear people all the time, like, I'm an artist or I'm a painter. Like, how do I just get paid to do that? I'm like, you've got to go back to our original formula here. Reach more people, solve bigger problems. So here's the dealio. If I can imagine there's an alternate universe, right? Infinite universes, probably, Zach. There's an infinite universe, another alternative reality where Zach Spuckler is a doctor, you know, saving lives, right? Who knows? But there could be an alternate universe where James, me, is a freelance videographer, right? And in fact, I tried that out like right out of film school, hated it. And the thing is like, we work with freelance videographers. I have some that work with me all the time. Super talented, super hardworking, amazing, incredible folks. And they work to the bone. They will do 12-hour days and numerous clients nonstop. And the cap on their revenue or money, it's stifled. It's limited. In fact, this really came into light for me a couple years ago when we started looking for videographers and we posted out on Craigslist. We're out in Orange County. So, you know, LA, the Mecca, is an hour away from us, the Mecca of film and Hollywood and all that stuff, right? So we put this ad out there and we had 60 videographers apply before the end of the day. So here is this high talent, high skilled profession. You know, it takes some skill to learn it, but it's a commodity in the marketplace because there are so many people doing it. So that's like the first thing, is that there is the alternate universe where I could have been a videographer. But when there's so many, it's the basic supply and demand we learned back in high school, economics, Econ 101, is that when the supply is high, the price goes down, right? And that's something I saw very quickly. So if you're looking at what you love and what you're doing that is the skill that provides value and helps people, are you unique or is there a unique way in which you are delivering it? Or are you really just a commodity if you're being brutally honest with yourself? And if I can put an ad out there on Craigslist and 60 of you apply for it in a day, you're in a commodity. And so your price is limited. So that's like the first piece. So I could have done that, but instead I went to the internet. And the first thing I started doing is using video to reach more people, right? Make more money, reach more people, solve bigger problems. So the first thing I did is say, wait a second, if I put this on the internet, we all know this by now, this is nothing revolutionary. But if I put it on the internet, you know, now today we have over 10 million views on YouTube. Well, now it's going to get in front of more hands. More people are going to see it. And we have, there comes that word again, some leverage, right? Videos I made 6 years ago that are still being viewed today. But then, you know, I think that's the first piece. The second piece is solving bigger problems. Okay, so watch this. This is a huge distinction. When you identify who your ideal customer is, you can get to the core of their problems. And we'll talk about this on this call. There are only a few core problems that people really have. So if I'm targeting business owners as a videographer, schlepping my stuff around, and I come to Zach Spuckler's house or office, and I'm your videographer for the day, the problem that I'm most likely solving is you don't know how to film a video, or you need someone to capture and press record and film a video for you. So, you know, you pay me, you know, average videographer is anywhere from $250 to $600 day rate. Right? So you pay me $600 for the day to solve that problem. Okay. But when I take that online and leverage and reach more people, and I realize my avatar, my ideal customer is a business owner, I'm no longer solving the problem of you don't have a video, I'm going to make you a video. I'm solving the problem of you don't have enough business. You don't have enough clients or customers. You're not reaching more people. More people aren't finding you. I can help with that. And through a leveraged, what we call leveraged offers, like an online course, group coaching, digital program, et cetera, now, because I'm solving a bigger problem, I can put a higher price tag on my offer and distribute my training, my processes, my system, my solution without me having to schlep my gear to someone's house and, you know, film for 12 hours a day. So like that was the first big thing, is you got to break free of the trading time for dollar. And we can talk a little bit about why that can be so hard to do. I mean, it's like immediate result. You know, you can go out to anyone on the internet today and be like, hey, I can do this for you. And, you know, we have people do it all the time. Come to us and be like, hey, we'll manage this. We'll do this. We'll take care of this. I'm like, here you go. Here's money. Great. You just saved me so much time. And time is so much more valuable than money, folks. Because you can't get your time back. You can always generate more revenue. And when we develop that skill, you're always going to choose to invest money so you can save time. So I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but that's the first piece, is like getting to the core problem of your ideal customer and finding a way to solve that for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think you said something there that I just want to highlight that's so important, because this is something that you have really hammered home for me over the last year and a half or so of working together, which is like, when you're starting out, that money feels so important. But once you have the money, you quickly realize it's way less important than the time.
Yeah. And your role changes. One of the things that's really important to us that is like the number one question I ask, well, you know, we have this phrase, what got you here won't get you there. And that seems to have a really big impact on my students. And that's good, because it had a huge impact on me. In fact, it still does. And it's really about understanding that wherever you're, there's where you're at, that's point A, and there's where you want to go to, and that's point B. There's always a point C, D, E, F, all the way until the day you, you know, kick the bucket, right? But there's that next level that you want to get to. You always hear people saying, like, I want to get to the next level. I want to take my business to the next level. Like, well, so step one would be to clearly define what that next level looks like for you. By understanding this, what got you here won't get you there, really means that you're at point A and you want to get to point B. The habits, actions, thoughts, behavior, and way of being that you have now is the very thing that got you to point A, and it's the very thing keeping you from getting to point B. It worked then, it will not work for the next phase, which is why people get stuck. And here's a perfect example of this, and we'll try and really nail this down, because it's such an elusive concept. It's very intellectual, theoretical, but I really want to nail it with some perfect examples. But the first thing is, we spend so much more of our time looking at opportunity cost. This is this phrase you hear, again, in Econ 101 for 30 seconds. You never listen to it again. It goes in one ear, out the other ear, but it's such a valuable thing. It's like, going back to the word possibility, every moment, including this one, listening to Zach and James ramble, you have a choice. You have a choice on where you get to put your focus, your attention, your awareness, and ultimately your action and your effort. And a lot of times we kind of spray that effort and action wherever we want, willy-nilly, reactively. And to be much more intentional with your time and your energy, because that's your precious, valuable commodity, you need to start looking at the opportunity cost. In other words, by working on this, by saying yes to this, choosing to spend my time and energy here, what is that costing me? And the bigger we get and the faster we move, the scarier that answer becomes. And so we've actually said, and I'm not alone at this, you know, and Zach will probably have examples of this as well, where there's actually you having to say no to things that in phase point A, you would have been saying yes to. And these are things that generate revenue. These are things that provide value in your life or in your business. And you have to say no to them, because in a longer, bigger picture, they're actually costing you more. And so that's one example. That's one kind of habit to put into place. But the perfect example is to contrast the freelance person doing contract work versus the person selling, you know, leveraged offers, online courses, a membership site, you know, group coach, something where they can sell it to multiple people and they don't have to trade time for dollars. And I use this analogy of like a plant or a tree, where if I plant the seed for client work, I can see results immediately, and I can have that plant break through the soil just almost instantly. So for example, if I go to Zach and I say, hey man, I'd like to run your Facebook ads for you. Here's my price. Or even if I don't have a skill yet, I'm like, hey dude, I just want to edit your email copy. I took English class in high school. I got an A. Let me edit your email copy. I'm X amount of dollars per hour. Like, he will send me a check. He will, you know, send me a PayPal link. Hey, I'm in business. I'm making money. And that result comes very quickly, but at what cost? And the challenge with the leveraged offer seed is it can take more time. You know, if you have no audience yet and you launch a program to nobody, you're probably not going to make any sales. So you have to build a little bit of an audience. And that just takes more time. But the challenge is that we keep going back for those quick results. But I can just get this other client here and I can pay my bills. And if I just get this person, this person wants me to do more work. Instant gratification, quick win, money in the bank. And that's where this whole concept becomes so important. What got you here won't get you there, where eventually you'll run out of hours in the day, you'll run out of time, and you'll be exhausted. Then you get hit smack dab in the face with that damn scary truth. Holy crap. If I stop working, my business stops working. And then you realize or ask yourself, am I really building a business, or am I just creating another job, or like four jobs? And that's why this is so important, to make that leap into actually building a business, meaning the, you know, what we call the architect of your business, where you're putting the systems and processes in place. So it's not just a glorified job. And that can be tough. It can be tough, but that's always what I want to encourage my students to do. And it can be done with, you know, leveraged offers and stuff. Like, we have products we've created years ago, and funnels and systems and stuff that we've created years ago that still attract leads, that still attract customers. Next month, I'm really excited about this. Chelsea, my wife, and I are taking like 6 weeks off. We rented an apartment in New York City, and we're just like, we're just going to chill for like a month and a half, and it's just going to be amazing. So we can do that because of the business we put in place. So does this make sense?
Yeah. I mean, that makes so much sense. And that is something that we worked on. And, you know, even this past weekend, I took just a couple of days off. And actually, you know what? Scratch that. A better example. I actually think I texted you just a couple of weeks ago. I was speaking at an event for a client, and I got delayed on a flight that took off at 8 p.m. And if you've ever been delayed on an evening flight, it's a bit of a nightmare, especially when it's connecting. And I got stuck in Texas overnight. And when I landed in Texas, my phone just started blowing up with all these payments. And don't get me wrong, I mean, that was years of work to build that foundation. It's not like I got lucky and sold a bunch of stuff. But that was when I realized, like, prior to this, when I was doing that one-to-many service, when I was managing Facebook ads for people, when I was consulting people one at a time as the primary source of my revenue, that wouldn't have happened. But even though I lost a day, literally a whole day to travel, that's what happens when your flights delay, I didn't lose a day of business. And that was a massive realization for me, that that's why it's so important to get this leverage concept and do those scary things. And that required me to do stuff. I mean, I remember when we first started working together, I almost didn't think you were going to take me on because I refused to hire a virtual assistant until I made $100,000. And the minute I did that, I bought back all my time. And even while we're on this interview, ironically enough, like, payments are coming through from things that my VA is managing or my ads person is managing. And like, that is what I wanted. I had somebody come visit me this weekend, and I wasn't like, oh, I can't hang out because I have to go to work. Like you said, that's just a job. I don't want that. So, I mean, that makes so much sense. And I think what you said is so important. Like, it is scary, it is daunting, and it is the long game. And sometimes you have to say no to stuff that would have been a golden opportunity a year ago.
So this is huge. And it reminds me of a quote by Tom Watson. He's the founder of IBM. This is all within a great book, one of my favorite business books, E-Myth Revisited. So Tom Watson in the 80s was asked about what he thought attributed to the phenomenal success of IBM. And he put it into three reasons. He said the first reason is that at the very beginning, when he started the company, he got clear on the picture or the vision of what the company would look like when it was finally done. Now, this is a very funny concept because everyone says they're building their business, and they kind of, entrepreneurs kind of like, I don't know, they get some sort of like identification or social something out of building a business. But how often do we actually stop and ask, what are we building, and how will we know when it's done? What will it look like when it's done? When you talk about a house, you're not just always building a house. You have a clear blueprint of what the finished product looks like. So what if you could take a moment and get clear on what the finished version of your business looks like, so you know what you're building towards and you know when you get there? And then number two, so he said he started with that. Number two, and this is huge, this is bringing back this concept of what got you here won't get you there. He said, once I knew what the clear picture was, I had to ask myself how a company that looked like this would have to act, how would this company act when it was finished? And reason number three, I knew that I would have to act that way now. And that's the huge difference. I mean, and again, when we talk about, it's just a great example of contrasting, you know, a business where it's solely client work, trading time for dollars versus a leveraged offer, online courses or membership or something. It's not shaming one or making one right or wrong. You can build a business where you have both, but it's about getting clear on where you're going and encouraging you to make that leap. But the difference, which gets you unstuck, is understanding that when you get clear on the vision of what you're building, you have to act in accordance with that finalized vision now. And this is where so many people mess this up all the time. They look to the reality of what they have or don't have, and they let that dictate their decisions for their business. Here's an example. I've talked about this before, and it's like, it's maddening to me, but only because I'm so passionate about this stuff that this is just what separates everyone, is that someone will say, I want to create a course. And you'll say, what are your goals, right? This is talking about the vision. They're like, I want to have a, you know, $20,000 a month generating, you know, sales for this online course, this membership, or this amazing program. I want it to be the best in the market, etc. Then they spend 30 days duct taping free solutions of software and free trials of stuff together to try and make it work, right? And they run into tech glitches and breakdowns and problems, and they spend hours, and then the finished product looks like totally amateur, totally unprofessional. And the difference here is, you say, if I was already a $20,000 a month business, is that what a $20,000 a month business would do? Is that how a $20,000 a month business would operate? Chances are no. And then you come back, you say, but James, I don't have that revenue yet. I said, I know. But this is where the challenge slash opportunity lies, is acting in accordance and in alignment with the business that you're becoming, not the results of your past. Because if you're always making decisions for tomorrow based on the results of yesterday, you're going to be in a vicious cycle, vicious, vicious cycle. The past can inform us, but it's our vision for the future that will drive us. What got you here won't get you there. What Zach had to do is realize, like, wait a second, I want to get to this next level. What type of business does that look like? And how would I need to act and be as the CEO of that business to align with that end result? And how can I start doing that now? And it's challenging. It's challenging, but that's what it takes. And so then once we do that, I think we can just tie it all back into, like, you know, for me, like, part of that vision was, I want to have fun every day. It's actually one of our core values. We have core values in our company, and one of them is to have fun. Really simple core value. But for me, like, I'm having a blast making videos. And one of our other core values is infuses creativity. But yeah, every member of our team, to fit into our core values, you have to have fun. It's easy for you to have fun, and you infuse creativity into whatever work you're doing. And that's was part of our vision of what we created. And we step into that every day. And, like, again, like, I just look back, and we're making videos, having a blast making them, and we're able to tie that into the sale, the revenue, follow the money, and connect that to your creativity, to what you love doing. I don't know, it's not always easy for people to see that, and I hope that's what we're helping you to see for your business. I don't know.
Yeah, I love that. I want to just talk about what you just said, the quote or the three things from IBM. I remember I was at our mastermind in New York, and you walked us through this process, and I had come into that mastermind, this would have been almost a year ago now, and I remember saying to you, like, I just, like, I'm never going to have a six-figure launch, James. It feels like it's never going to happen. And we started to map out our launch, and you said, well, what are you going to do for your pre-launch? And I remember telling you, like, well, I didn't want a pre-launch. Like, I want to do this, like, now. And I was like, you know, I want to do it right now. Like, I really only want to spend $10,000 on ads. I only have one person on my team. And you walked us through this exercise or this thought process. And I remember stepping back and saying, Well, number one, I don't know anybody in this business who's like, yeah, I'll just have a $100,000 launch tomorrow. They plan it, which is something I'd put up so much resistance to. But just thinking about that, it kind of forced me to say, okay, well, what does a business that has a $100,000 launch do for their launch? Well, they plan it. They don't just shoot from the hip. And that was when I stopped doing that, funny enough. And I remember telling you, like, I really don't want to spend more than $10,000 on ads. And you said to me, why? And I was like, well, because it's scary. And so I mean, I did it anyway. We ended up budgeting $25,000, coming way closer to that spend and doing really well with that launch. And we ended up hiring a person to do the ads and an extra support staff in our last launch, because I just want people who are listening to understand that, like, it's such a simple concept. Yes, it's hard to put in place, but it's one of those things where it's almost like when you think about it, in the back of your head, you probably already know the answer. Like, you already know you shouldn't be using the free landing page that comes with ConvertKit. As much as I love ConvertKit, you should just spend the $37 a month on lead pages, but you're not, because you'll do it when you make that money, but you're never going to make that money because you need to do that in order to make that money. And the more I've been around you, the more adamant I've become about that. And I mean, this quote and this process is something that we live by in our business, because it feels expensive to take on. You know, I remember when you told me to get Samcart, and I was like, James, it's $100 a month. And you were like, but it can make you $1,000. So I don't understand what the problem is. And when you, and the more you really get this, like, we still go back now and like audit our expenses from month to month and go like, maybe we don't need that. Maybe we did jump the gun. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say we've hired people that weren't a great fit or that we've spent money on things we didn't need. But when we stop stressing over how can I do this cheap? How can I do this easy? How can I do this where I am right now? And started saying, what do we need to do to make this happen? How much discomfort are we willing to go through to make it happen? And then I think just something to kind of touch on that's kind of a little pet peeve of mine is like, after the launch, take some of the money and put it back in. Like, go get a massage, go get lunch, take yourself to the movies. But if you just had a $1,000 launch, my first ever multi-$1,000 launch, we pre-launched, we made $2,000. I turned around and I hired somebody to do the slides, somebody to create the handouts, and somebody to do some of the design work. And we paid for systems, we paid for membership sites, we put $1,000 back in on the first launch because of exactly what you said. If we wanted to be a business that could make $5,000 to $10,000 a month on courses, we had to be spending $1,000 on infrastructure. And it was scary and it was almost upsetting to put all that money back in. But we got so much feedback, even to this day, from people that were like, I was really surprised that I bought a course from a nobody and like there was actually a membership site. There were actually videos, there were actually handouts, like for $97, because this doesn't happen.
Here's something funny, just to interrupt you really quick before you keep going, you know, going back to the what got you here won't get you there, is the thing is like, what got you from, you know, running around doing client work to actually turning this, you know, getting revenue from courses was, you know, you could hustle and put together a launch or a promotion and sell the crap out of it really fast. So the thing is that worked. This is a high level conversation we're having here. Again, Zach warned you guys, it's not the like how to make your first $1,000 on the internet. Like, this is the crazy brain thought processes that I see makes the tiny millimeter shifts. So Zach could have continued to reward that habit and say, I'm just going to be the guy who's every 3 weeks, he's going to come up with a new product, you know, get onto Periscope or Facebook Live and quickly throw some Facebook ads and sell it and make 10,000 here, 15,000 there, 7,000 here, 3 weeks, rest a week, 3 weeks, rest a week. But we know that's not sustainable. When he sat down and really said, well, what are those decisions and actions really costing me? What's the opportunity cost? It was very uncomfortable at first for him to realize that the next level, if he had a real true desire to get to the next level, would mean that he have to stop doing a launch every 3 weeks and put more of that planning in place and space it out more so that he wasn't spreading himself so thin and gave everything he got to that next promotion. I'm not saying that is the way. I'm saying that is the next way, right? That I'm just giving an example of, here's something that worked at one level and then didn't work to get him to the next level. And he had to unlearn that and learn a new way. And here he is. You know, I'm sure you've shared with your audience and your listeners already, but you definitely shared it with me. This was your biggest launch, this most recent one. also what you told me, like being one of the most, you know, easygoing, stress-free launches, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I took multiple days off, like didn't log in.
Yeah. And again, like, I feel like sometimes what we're talking about here is not what most people want to hear. It's a bummer. Like when I set out to do this, I set out to build a business around this. I remember, I will never forget this moment. I never thought this would be such a like monumentous moment, because this happened in 2011. I know the day, it was September, early September, 2011. And I know exactly where I was at. I was at a Sheraton hotel in San Diego at a conference. And I'm at the bar at the cocktail party afterwards. And it's an online marketing, internet marketing conference. And the bartender there says, "Oh, are you guys talking about internet marketing?" I'm like, "Yeah." And I was sitting with Lewis House. I'll never forget this. He goes, "Oh yeah, I tried that." But he said, "I dabbled in it and it doesn't really work." And I'll never forget that. That was like the greatest lesson. Of course it didn't work, because you dabbled. When does dabble work? When does dabble work? And that's a huge thing. Like, people are waiting for it to work before they work. People are waiting for it to work before they go to work. They're waiting for the proof first. Like, where's the faith in that? Where's the going all in that all these darn Instagram quotes are telling you to do? You become so sensitized to all these quotes because you hear them all day and they sound great and they rhyme or they, you know, whatever. But there's so much profound truth in these quotes if you actually like read it and let it like get infused into your DNA and show up that way. It won't work if you dabble. It's not until, here's one of my quotes, as an old Zen saying, it says, "Leap and the net will appear." Not dabble on the sidelines and money will rain from the heavens. You're never going to get that quote, right? And so it's tough, because this is the conversation I'm having is, Zach, if you want to get to your next level, Zach's next level, because everyone, we all have our own next, it's not the next level, it's your next level. You're going to have to already, just like Tom Watson did, know that that next level is inevitable, which is another thing we say. Your success is inevitable. Imagine if you wore that as an affirmation daily. My success is inevitable. My next level, my next result, my next launch is inevitable. But what gets you there today is the trust and absolute conviction in knowing that it's going to happen. And there's another great quote I love. It says, and this is a golfing analogy, "Live your life like the ball is in the cup." Now think about this for a second. Zach comes to me, he says, "James, I want to do $100,000 promotion, $100,000 launch." I wouldn't teach him or coach him on how to run it from the heels, dabbling halfway in, halfway out, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I would say, "Zach, if you're living your life and running this launch like the ball's in the cup, we would have a conversation saying, it already happened. It's done. What did you do to make this happen?" He wouldn't say, "Well, I got really scared and nervous about investing in Facebook ads." He would tell me, "This is how much I spent, and this is how many leads I got, and this is how many I converted, and this is what I did here, and that's what I added there, and this is what I did there." And it's such a different conversation. There's no dabbling, folks. There's no doubt. And it is. It's a bummer, because Zach will tell you, I'll tell you, all the ads that convert and all the emails that get opened are the ones like, "How to get your first this, or, you know, your first 100 subscribers, or your first $1,000. And, you know, I want to use those because they work, but I just get so passionate about like your big vision. Like, if you really want to create something and you feel called to do it, what's beyond that first thing? What's it going to look like in 12, 18 months from now, 3 to 5 years, 10 years from now, and start playing to that? But James, I want to see if this works. There's no faith in that. There's no conviction in that. Your success is inevitable. No, it's going to work. Leap and the net will appear. I don't know. Those are my crazy thoughts, Zach. This is what you get for bringing me on your podcast. We just have weird, bizarre conversations. People just want to know how to set up an opt-in page and run a Facebook ad to it. But this is where my, you know, my brain goes.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing. You know, something you said that I think is so powerful, and I think you make us do this at almost every mastermind you host, which is like, you know, what did you have to give up? What did you do? Like, act as if it's already done. And I think that there's this like belief out there that like, you know, we hear like, oh, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And like, it's this like loaded statement because you do really get comfortable being uncomfortable to the point where it's not even the same kind of fear anymore. But there's always, you just have to do it because there's so few people doing it. And it sounds so polar opposite of what you were just saying, which is like everybody has their own next level, but almost everyone is not playing the game to get there. And so just mm-hmm. showing up and doing it, like that is the hard part. Like it was so, like perfect example. We just promoted my longtime assistant to a manager and had to hire somebody under her. And I was like, this is what we have to do. Like we need, my manager and I both need an assistant. That person has to come in. I do not have extensive experience training a team. I do not have extensive experience managing managers. And it's weird and it's uncertain and it's odd, but most people won't do it. And so just bringing that person on, will it be clunky? Will it be hard? Will we have hiccups and errors? Absolutely. But just by doing it, we've already met the criteria of the 3 points. We've said, listen, the vision for where we want to be is we need a new team member. Like, how do we act? Well, we bring them in and we give my manager ownership of training her. We loosely outline it. And then that's what we do. We have to do that now. And so I actually connected with somebody in our mastermind, Amber McHugh, who's amazing with hiring. We need to hire somebody. I have no idea how to do it. I'm so nervous about it. I hate hiring. Tell me what to do and we'll do it.
I love it.
And that's what we did. And we just had our first onboarding call with her today, literally right before we got on. That's why we had to do our meeting at this time. But it's already done. That criteria of the vision, how to act, and doing it now, it's already done.
The quote you shared is like a perfect example of one of these like profoundly true, yet profoundly cliche and like overused in one ear out the other. Like, get comfortable with uncomfortability or uncertainty, and life begins outside your comfort zone. I find so much profound truth in those, and you hear them and you go, yeah, it sounds great. But are you really living that? Because here's the thing, you are so smart that you outsmart yourself and you don't even know it. You have this thing, not you, Zach, but all of us, me included. Okay, I am not exclusive from this finger pointing here, because I am pointing my finger at everybody, myself included. You have this thing called an ego, and it is always trying to outsmart you. It is always trying to get, I mean, you will find your, if you can just find yourself doing it, if you just become, use your awareness, your conscious brain as a flashlight to catch your ego, it is so friggin' sneaky, because someone like me will tell you, hey, go do this thing. You know, we see it in the inner circle. A lot of people, like half the time, I'm just saying, just be open, be coachable, show me coachable, show me coachable. Coachable means stripping the ego away, taking the ego out of your brain for a moment and putting it on the chair next to you and saying, okay, let me receive something new and different, right? But so many times someone will tell you to do something. Oh, you should do this. Or you know you should do it. And you find the most logical, rational ways to talk your damn self out of it. I see myself do it. I see others do it. And we don't notice it. We're like, yeah, well, I was going to do this webinar, but here's the thing. It's spring break. And a lot of my audience are parents and they're going to be on vacation with their families. So my attendance isn't going to be low. So I'm going to do it in June. You know what? That's summer. So I'll wait until they get back from summer vacation because I know attendance rate. We do this all the time. All the time.
Constantly. And I see it all the time in my group. It's a question we have on every coaching call. Should I wait a week because... bum, bum, bum. Every week without fail.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Should I wait a week? Listen, and there's no, I'm not shaming. I am shaming the ego. I'm not shaming you, but you can do this too. You thank the ego. You say, you know what? I get it. You're just trying to protect me, but I'm not at risk here. There's nothing dangerous happening. When you realize, folks, there was a year, I have a podcast episode on this. I just wrote an episode or wrote an article in my email newsletter about this. There was a year that I more than tripled revenue and hit 7 figures in 1 year. Fastest growth year I'd ever had. And what made the difference was really simple. It was no new strategy. There was no new secret tip or tactic, which all y'all are searching for. I was searching for it. It wasn't any of that. it was, I noticed, I caught that ego in the act. I noticed how scared I was, how much I cared about what others thought of me. And I literally thought that if people thought bad of me, it was a life or death thing for me. Like if someone, if I rubbed someone the wrong way, if they disagreed with me, if I pissed them off in an ad, if they didn't like my video because it was too long or too boring or too salesy, I'm done. I'm finished. And I know, I have to know that I'm not alone there. I cannot be the only one that thinks that, right?
No, absolutely not.
And I got over that. Now, the simple way I got over it was getting kind of hit with this thought of like, if I'm so afraid of what everyone else is thinking and so consumed with that, isn't everyone else consumed with the same thing? And that gave me just enough space to start saying, well, so what am I really afraid of? I'm afraid of a bunch of people that are afraid of me. They're afraid of me. They're afraid of what I think of them. And I'm afraid of them because they're afraid of me. This is ridiculous. We took, you know, like in Star Wars where they grab the warp drive lever and they just crank it up to warp drive. We did that with our ads. We did that with a promotion. We did that with our emails. And we 5 or 6x the biggest launch to promotion we'd ever had and 3x revenue for the entire year. And it was like a light and easy year. I spent 2 weeks in Italy. That was it. I didn't do anything else different except play a bigger game, because what got you here won't get you there. And what had to get me from James's point A to point B was I had to stop being so darn scared and concerned / consumed with what everyone else thought of me. Because that'll be your ultimate thing. If you're a personal brand, if you're a coach, author, speaker, course creator, online influencer, that's going to be the biggest benefit and the biggest crippler for your growth. You know, here's this opportunity for you to connect with people and they connect with you because you're a real person, and it's going to scare the crap out of you. Because what if they don't like you? What if they badmouth you? What if they say something negative in your Facebook group? So effing what? Especially, you want to put that on steroids, especially when you make your life and your business about the commitment to the students who have showed up to be coached by you. When you do that, you stand in that commitment and you drop any of this, you know, concern or worry or fear, I know it's easier said than done, you become effing unstoppable. And all of us have that. I know there's that voice in our head that says that we're not, or like, oh, I'm not as smart as this person, or I'm not as good looking, or I'm too old. I've had people, I will not name them, but peers that we know in this industry, super successful people that have told me that they could never be where they are today because they're either too old or too young or too whatever, the way they looked, their physical appearance. It's effing BS. It's sad, but it's true that they think that. Those are real thoughts that they think, but it's not reality. So anyways.
Yeah. And I think that's so key. And there's something in there that you said that, like, you just barely said it. And I want to highlight it, which is you said, you know, even that summer you spent a couple weeks in Italy. Like, when you start to play a bigger game, like you have been helping me do, it's not more time. It's almost less time. Like, we're going into a major promotion and I've been taking weekends off. My team has been taking on more responsibility. It's the same amount of stuff, but it doesn't take up the same amount of headspace because it's on the other side of that fear, and that discomfort changes. Where the discomfort was, oh my gosh, do I invest in lead pages? To now the discomfort is, oh my gosh, do I spend that much on ads? To, oh my gosh, do I trust this person on my team? As you grow the game, you get better at seeing when you're like rationally talking yourself out of it so that you just stop doing that. So you spend less time in your head and more time in your life. I mean, that's one of the biggest transformations that I've seen is like, I do get, like you said, like people think you get up here and it's great, but we get negative. I can't even tell you, at least every other day we delete a comment on one of our ads. It's like, you're a scam. You don't know what you're doing. Great Facebook ad sucker. Like, you don't even know. And like, so what? Like, guess what? There's a fantastic quote that I love. It's a little R-rated, so if you're listening with kids, earmuffs on. There's a quote from RuPaul, who's like, huge success, massive success. And he says, if those bitches don't pay your bills, don't pay those bitches no mind. And it's one of my new favorite quotes. And I love it because it's true. We get so wrapped up in what all these people think. And most of those people aren't paying you. The people who pay you, love you, care about you, the people letting you live that lifestyle you want. But yet we let the people who have no influence on our life influence our life.
It's so true. You're not here to make friends. You're not here to get popular. You're not here for people to like you. Have your support system, have your friends, have your family, have the people that no matter what you do, what will happen, they're in your corner. But you're the people on the internet, your audience, your people that might see your stuff. It's not your job to get them to like you. It's your job to help them. And they're either going to resonate with what you say, they're either going to find value in what you say, and they're going to do something with it, or they're not. And it's actually a really darn good thing to be polarizing, to have people that can't stand you, that don't like you, that say, not my cup of tea. Zach's not my cup of tea. Because everything is just this beautiful balance in the universe of yin and yang. For everyone that hates you, there will be people on the exact opposite of the spectrum that have that much love, respect, and support and what have you for you. It's just so fascinating. You know, I see people, there are people that just can't stand, they're like, oh, I can't stand this guy. And he's like, always doing this and blah, blah, blah on social media. And you just know they have just rabid followers, just huge, like lifer fanatic fans. And it's not, you know, your self-worth as a human is not going to be determined, trust me, on the number of people that like you on social media. So that's a very dangerous game to play. And it is an illusion. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to play this game, we're for avoiding, I'm going to do everything that Zach tells me to do. I'm going to listen to every podcast. I'm going to take every one of his courses, follow his instructions to T, and I'm going to make sure that I do it without upsetting one person or making one person not love me. Good luck with that. That is the biggest illusion. We learned that a long time ago, the hard way. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's not your job, though. Your job is to help just one person. You can help one person, you win, because you're passing on good will. And the thing is, okay, this is the last piece, and I got to shut up, man, because I will just talk all day you and your peeps. But here's the thing. You know, the biggest way that you help others and impact others, which brings it full circle, is who you are being and how you show up. People barely listen / remember / retain / do what you say. Can you remember? I know you've been on a webinar of mine 2 years ago, Zach, or 18 months ago. Do you remember what I said on that webinar? Do you remember the content? Do you remember the 5-step strategy?
Not at all.
No. I mean, maybe you took notes. Maybe you recorded it. And if I gave you enough time, you could go dig through it or something. What matters is how you show up for your audience, because that will inspire them. Who are you being so that when people see you, they can see what's possible for themselves? They can be inspired to do something new. I mean, I even have people, like, I love when people say things like, man, if this kid's doing it, this James nerd is doing this, I can do it. I'm like, hey, if at the very least I inspire you because of that, fantastic. I win. That's it. And it's so, so true. So
yeah.
Who are you showing up as in your business?
Yeah.
Inspire others through your actions. All right.
Yeah.
What
I
else?
Mean, I love it. And we'll wrap up here. I just want to say that is such a powerful message. And I want the people listening to know, like, that's why I hired you. You had a question on our call, and I know we talk about this all the time. You said to me, like, well, why me? Why now? And it wasn't, oh, James, because you have a multi-million-dollar business, or, oh, James, because you're the go-to for video. It's because I saw you on a webinar. You said, hey, I got to end my webinar in 10 minutes, so ask your questions now because I have to go surfing. And I said to you, dude, that's the life I want. I want to be able to say, like, I can do what I want to do when I want to do. Didn't know how your funnels worked. Didn't know your extensive knowledge. Didn't know everybody in your network, didn't know all the benefits that would come from being in your mastermind. and by just modeling the way you want to be, something that some people would say, how selfish of you to want to go surf when you have people paying to be there. And I know there's people like that because I get the email hate from them sometimes. But that small act has led to massive change in my life. And I mean, frankly, I spent most of the money I had in my business to work with you.
Mm.
And it had nothing to do with your marketing, nothing to do with your 7 steps to a webinar, and everything to do with the person you decided to be. And I just think that it's such a powerful message that I want people to understand. I wrote a multiple 5-figure check because of the person you were when that was a massive financial stretch for me. It's not about the steps. Even though they matter, it's not all about the steps. So
that's the trick. It's like, you got to have the right plan, but the right plan isn't the only, the only thing. You know?
So much good stuff. All right, James, we are coming up on an hour, which is like so long for our show.
Oh man.
But I'm not even sorry. It's so good. But before I let you go, dude, tell us what you're working on.
Okay. So I told you guys that we just spent a month. This is the month of March, just making videos. These videos are ready. So we've put together what my goal was, is to make this the most epic free video training that anyone in our industry has ever seen. Hopefully it is. There's a lot of drone footage and action shots, and it's highly dynamic and entertaining, but it's also highly valuable. So I'm going into my 10th year of doing this, and we've learned a lot. And I've spent the last couple of years helping entrepreneurs like Zach, really close and personal, to grow their online business. And I focus primarily on anyone who either has or wants to have online courses, digital programs, group coaching, membership sites, or even like in-person workshops and masterminds and stuff like that, and how you can build a business around that. The strategy and plan for launching these programs and systematizing the whole thing. So we created this epic 3-part video series that kind of walks you through the 3 phases to doing that. And it's really overlaid on top of that with something that I don't think is talked about, something that is really a problem that's plaguing our industry right now. It's like people are screaming for help and no one's listening to those cries. And it's that people are overwhelmed and overworked, and they are confused, and they are stuck because they've been sold on this idea that the only way to make it is working 14, 16-hour days. You know, just shut up and, you know, put your nose back to that grindstone and just work harder. And yes, again, if here's one of those cliches, work smarter, not harder, but how do you do that? And what does that look like? And that's exactly what we show you in this 3-part video series on how to build your business by design.
Awesome. And we will link that up in the show notes. It's going to be heartsoulhustle.com/57. I'll get that link up again at the end. And I just want to say, like, I have personally seen the videos. I literally watch the content, and there is straight up stuff in there that I have paid much, much more for. And you listen to it on this episode where I was like, these 3 steps, like, if you just take the time to sign up, watch the videos, and honestly take it at face value, and you don't have to silence the voice in you that's like, well, what if this and what if that? You just have to ignore it. You have to give yourself 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You just ignore the voice, watch the videos, and just do it, because so many people aren't doing it. And I can tell you from personal experience, not, oh my gosh, James is so great, he makes amazing content. From personal experience in my business over the last 2 years, that if you take the content in this video and apply it, it will build your business. Because I've seen the videos, this is stuff that I've learned from James, and it works. So,
and you're in it.
And I'm in it. So
he's in the videos. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So like, I'm totally vain on top of all of that, and I want you to see me. So you have to.
There's only one reason. Yeah, one reason.
Yeah, and even if you didn't like this whole episode, like, come on. And I make like my face is in it. It's probably the best part.
And you're wearing your Mickey shirt?
Yeah, I am wearing my Mickey shirt. Disney, marketing, like, what's not to love? So no matter what, you don't have a reason not to sign up now.
That's it. We've covered all our bases there.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. I cannot wait to get this one out and live. And I think people are just going to love it.
I think so too. Hey, we've already gotten great feedback so far. So I think your people will definitely love it.
It's going to be awesome. Dude, thanks so much. And we're going to have you back for a 3rd time, I think.
Whenever you want. Thank you, Zach. Thank you guys for listening.
All right. What I tell you, pretty amazing conversation, right? James knows his stuff. Now, if you want to sign up for the training that he talked about, totally free, head over to heartsoulhustle.com/57, and we'll have a link for you to sign up there right at the top, right under this episode. Again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/57. Head over there, get yourself signed up. You know, there's two things that I really want you to take away from this interview, if nothing else. This one quote that James has said multiple times: what got you here won't get you there. Guys, this is a quote that I have really adjusted to running my business by. I've been asked the question on multiple interviews, what's the best advice you've ever been given? And I constantly give this quote from James: what got you here won't get you there. And if you're trying to get there with what you got right now, what needs to change? It sounds so simple, and it's scary, and it's out there, and it pushes you and it stretches you, but this concept will change your business and your life. I mean that because I've personally experienced it. The second thing that we talked a little bit about is that time is your number one asset. And it can be hard to hear that and even process that when you're getting started and you're pouring in the hours and you're working late. But what I want you to understand is that there are seasons for working your business. You heard James say, like, over the past month, he's been working a little later than normal and putting more into it, right? But he also said he's going to go take a month and a half off with his wife and be in New York and enjoy life. And I want you to ask yourself, if you're duct taping solutions together and you're spending hours putting it together and you're avoiding investing in courses or resources or training or team members or anything in your business that would give you more time back, why? I want you to really think about that. I'm not saying that there is a right or a wrong answer that you should or shouldn't be doing things. I just want you to think about why. Because when James really challenged me to ask me why, why are you not spending more on ads during your launch? And I said, because I'm scared. I was letting fear stop me. Guys, this is such a powerful episode full of such powerful insights. Again, I can't say it enough. I know it because I've worked with James personally and I've seen the transformation in my life. And I want you to know, if you haven't already, you need to go get yourself signed up for his free training. Seriously. Plus, I do cameo in it, but it is full of amazing content. I watched the videos. I literally was pulling pieces of advice where I'm like, I remember learning that when we were together in New York. And I remember when he said that when we were in California. There are little nuggets of information that you could pay 10 times the amount, or I guess more than that, because it's a free training that I have paid tens of thousands to get access to learn one-on-one that you have access to right now. Give yourself permission to go learn. James is a friend and a mentor, and I don't recommend stuff lightly to my audience. In fact, I get asked on a regular basis to promote and joint venture and be an affiliate and be a brand ambassador, but I only do it when it's somebody I know, trust, and think can make massive change for my audience. So I will leave you with that. At the very least, re-listen to this episode, and if you're ready for more, get yourself signed up. heartsoulhustle.com/57. I hope you enjoyed this interview. I had an amazing time recording it with my awesome friend and mentor, James. And hopefully, I'll see you inside his free training. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.